Lead the way. Get your rock off my map.
This is amazing!
Let's do this.
What is up, guys? It is Dylan Lepore here, and we are back for another podcast for the Thursday afternoon games chat, and it's been going pretty well. This is the week after Thanksgiving break, and we only have 15 more days until winter break, and it's crazy. 15 more days filled with exams, finals, studying, and just overall a lot of stress. And then we have a month-long break, and then we got to do a repeat of the same semester. Different classes, though. But in case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Lepore, and this is the Thursday Afternoon Games Chat. Each and every week, I come to give you an in-depth talk about the games I play and some history about them. I messed up. The podcast airs live on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on RadioFreeRadford.com, and this then a week later, it's released on YouTube at youtube.com/Dylan Lepore and other podcasting services like SoundCloud and iTunes, and I can't list them all, as a downloadable MP3. And thanks for tuning in. This week's game is Horizon Zero Dawn. This game has been, I want to say, a landmark for the PS4 right now. It's just been doing superb sales-wise, and the makers of the game, Guerrilla Games, has done a fantastic job overall with the game so far. And it's crazy how they go from making all these crazy Killzone first-person shooter games to this full-fledged open-world game with so many details and so much lore that it's kind of crazy how they go from this, like, it's kind of gory fighting first person game to this beautiful open world game. But let's dive into somewhat of the plot. Horizon Zero Dawn is an action role-playing video game developed by Guerrilla Games and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment for PlayStation 4, and was released in early 2017. The plot revolves around Aloy, a hunter and archer living in a world overrun by robots. Having been an outcast her whole life, she sets out to discover the dangers that kept her sheltered. The character uses ranged weapons and a spear and stealth tactics to combat the mechanized creatures whose remains can be looted or for resources. And there's also a skill tree and open world and map, and we'll get all into that a little bit later in the podcast. And yeah, this podcast is still a 30-minute podcast, just to keep you guys informed. But overall, the story is set in the 31st century, long time from now, in a world where humans reproduction and reproduction of, like, animals has completely stopped, and machines have taken over, and it's machines versus humans. But there's a different story of how all this happened. I don't want to spoil any of it, though, but it's really sci-fi. it's really sci-fi how it all happens. But these humans now are in, like, tribes. You're in like olden ages now. They're in tribes, and each tribe, you know, hates each other, and you can't go out of the tribe areas, or if you do, you'll be considered an outcast. And Aloy never actually went outside of those lands. She was automatically considered an outcast due to her mysterious past that they don't want to tell her until you're, like, at the end of the game, where they tell her, and she's you're, like, all powered, and you go just just how you proceed through the story. But it's funny how the tribes interact with olden items or items from 2017, because the events in this game all started at 2017, and this game picks up at the 31st century. So like when they see mugs and stuff, mugs is one of the collectibles in the games. When they see mugs, they consider them to be like jars or like some outrageous thing. But Aloy, I really like Aloy because she takes those. She's actually pretty straight. She's like, you guys are all crazy. And she's actually making sense of everything, which is kind of weird. So she kind of plays off of our own eyes, our own thoughts. And she uses that. And she's actually thinking and not following like any certain tribe or any religion that this game has within it. And she's like the outside looking in, just interpreting everything and not believing anything until there's the facts, which is really cool. But there is a fight against the Sundom and the Nora, and those are two tribes, and they're basically far, far away from each other, opposite ends of the map completely, and they're trying to take over, and obviously Aloy is too awesome to let that happen. And at the Nora is Aloy's like homeland, you can say, where she learns and learns everything and becomes who she really is with her stepfather, yeah, sure, because nobody could found out, nobody can find out. This is all at the beginning of the video games. I don't want to spoil anything, because I don't want to get in too depth. She has a stepfather, and we never really know her parents or where she actually came from. But she is human. Let me just say that. She is definitely human. she's at the Nora, they have this thing called All Mother, and it's like this mechanical temple that they worship, and it's their god, and it speaks to them. And Aloy goes up to the All Mother, and it scans her face and gives her access to go into the temple, go further into the temple and discover what's behind the walls. And so anytime they have like this electric thing that's not trying to kill them, or a metal thing that's not trying to kill them, they worship it instead, which is kind of funny. So if an enemy, if a metal thing is coming at you with like red eyes and stuff, that means it wants to kill you. And if it's and if it's talking to you in a, like, I don't know, calming manner, it seems like all their voices are like calming manner, you know, it's good. And some are AIs, and some are just most of them are AIs though, and some of them are just like, I don't know, just like regular things that just get triggered. But overall, the plot and setting is very, it's very cool. Aloy was cast out from the Nora, like I said, at tribe at birth, raised by an outcast named Rost, which is her stepfather, you could say. As a child, she obtained a focus, which is a small augmented reality device that gives you her special perspective abilities, which is you can kind of pair that with Eagle Vision, and lots of games are using that. You can also think about Batman, detective mode on Batman, the Arkham franchise, and yeah, lots of games are using this like third eye, you can kind of think of this alternate augmented reality thing. It actually is very useful in this game, and I'm glad they use it, because They need to figure out when games use stuff like that. You gotta figure out because if you're kind of trying to keep a human focus in this game and trying to bring it down to earth, you need something else. You can't just be like, oh yeah, I have supervision, I can just see through walls and stuff. But no, she has this thing that actually connects to her somehow. You can maybe think of it as a Google Glass. Google Glass. You can think of it like a Google Glass, and you can see like everything, and you can see objectives and enemies, and you can even hunt in this game, hunt animals that are still alive, because some animals like bears and lions actually have extinct, and so they're no longer there, but you can hunt animals and stuff and use them and to make tools and stuff. But after coming to age, Aloy enters a competition called the Proving, and you go to the Proving Grounds to prove yourself, and that gets interrupted by the leader of the Sundom, and he basically ruins the whole thing and does something bad. And you will feel bad about what he did. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But how the game was made and how it was pitched was a really neat idea how they did this. Because, again, they did make... Guerrilla Games did make Killzone. And they also make Killzone Shadowfall, but Guerrilla Games began developing Horizon Zero Dawn in 2011 following the release of Killzone 3. So they've been developing this game for a while now. When conceiving the idea for a new game, about 40 concepts were pitched. Among these was Horizon Zero Dawn, which game director John considered the most risky, because Horizon Zero Dawn was this open world game and was this crazy, crazy idea that these game developers never really even thought they could do. But bringing on more and more team and more members and coming up with a whole new engine was very key to building this. Director John Bart Van Beek, he helped pitch the idea. When this concept was chosen, a team of 10 to 20 began building prototypes of the game. Many of the elements featured in the prototypes remained in the game, exploring varying concepts for the game. Approximately 20 different stories were written for the game, exploring such as different player characters and who previously acted as lead writer for Fallout New Vegas helped make these characters alive, and he and John was head of writing the game and the story of it. The main elements of the story and the characters of Aloy remained intact since early development, which is really impressive, because the character story has basically stayed the same, but obviously the character's drawing and the way the character looks has probably differed every now and then. But they knew they wanted to do a female redhead, I'm pretty sure, which was very interesting. And now it's like Joel and Ellie off of The Last of Us, how Ellie is like a little girl and she's a redhead. And I think they're doing like this thing with like redheads for some reason, which I find funny. And it's kind of cool, really, how they're now putting in more female leads in games. But maybe change the hairstyle sometimes, you know. There's more to choose from. That's pretty cool that they kept it since early development. Upon the completion of Killzone Shadowfall in late 2013, when the PS4 was releasing in November, it's actually the fourth It's actually the fourth anniversary of the PlayStation 4, so happy 4-4 for the PlayStation. The staff kept working on Horizon Zero Dawn. Guerrilla also canceled work on another title so as to allow the entire team to focus on the development of Horizon. Sony would later admit to being reluctant about having the main character be female and conducted a focus testing to see if such a decision was marketable. It had an estimated budget of over 45 million pounds, which was crazy. The game's concept explores the juxtaposition between the danger and beauty of the world, particularly analyzing the concept of humanity not being the dominant species. So every fight you do in this game, every fight, what it feels like, every fight you do in this game is like a boss fight. It's not, I wouldn't say it's Dark Souls or Demon Souls or what have you. I wouldn't say it's like that, but it almost feels like that because every fight, because I originally played the game on a hard difficulty, and they even made a easier difficulty if you just want to play the story and just learn the story without that challenge of having to die every time you try to fight one of these giant monsters, because the map is literally littered with all these creatures and roaming all over the place. You can't not go anywhere and expect to see one of these monsters, because they're in replace of this crazy world. And I believe I want to believe this game is based in Wyoming, because they had they were talking about Yellowstone Park in the game, which was interesting, and I believe this game is based in Wyoming. So which is crazy, because basically think of Wyoming and think of every spot in Wyoming, and it's just the entire space of Wyoming has every season you could think of as fall, spring, summer, definitely summer when you go into the east side of the map. It's definitely I want to say canyons, the canyons, Grand Canyon area, like very red, very hot. And then you got up in the mountains, the north side, where it's all like crazy winter with rough snow to go through, and you have to go talk to the Benoor tribe, which is a religious tribe. We'll get into that a little bit later, but and also in the southeast, there is like the rainforest jungle type. It's very watch out, because there's like these cougars, tigers, lions type, panthers. I forget the names of them, but they go invisible, and they're very hard to see, and they'll attack you from behind when they get the chance, which is super crazy. And there's a airplane going by. When I was in the rainforest the first time, I was just like, nope, I'm gonna come back to this later, definitely, because my heart was racing, because I was like, no, I'm very too level to handle freaking invisible lions or whatever coming at you. It's crazy. And then more of the southwest is more of like spring and like neutral weather there. And then, of course, the surrounding areas are in the mountain. Most of the mountainous are very, very snowy. And it's just an overall really cool map. The team aimed to emphasize the game's exploration element by featuring a quest system, as well as including items throughout the world that can be used to craft or replenish health. The game does not feature any tutorials, instead requiring players to learn the methods of defeating enemies through trial and error. But they have somewhat of a tutorial through quests and missions. They do have a whole list of tutorials. Like when you get a new gun, it gives you a tutorial with it. But it doesn't require you to do the tutorial. It's like it has its own section at the bottom of your settings where it's tutorials, and then there's a bunch of they're acted as quests, and you go do those quests. They're just to gain XP. You don't really have to do any of them. You don't have to do any of them actually. But if you want to gain XP, those are and you don't want to like further your progress in the game before leveling up, is a good way to get XP. But most of the way I got XP was very easily. I just collected everything. I collected everything. I did every side quest before I like did all the story missions, which was actually really cool. Because I like doing the side quest and then the story mission, and then if there are more side quests pop up, you do those and then the story mission, because the side quests actually pair with the story mission, which I find really interesting that games do that in that kind of way. But overall, the interface is pretty good. You got the health bar on top. Your weapons at the bottom. On the right side, you got your ammo and your powers and stuff. You don't really have any like powers in the game, but overall, it's very simplistic in how they really do anything. The game's soundtrack was composed by Joris Deman. The Flight and Knives Van Der Leest, with violinist Jolie Elvin serving as the primary performer. The music in this game is great. Anytime there's like a intense scene, you get that intense music with the violins, and everything overall is really great about this game. There's not really a few nitpicks I can choose from this game, but going on, when they released Killzone, since they started development in this game in 2011, and they released Killzone Shadowfall in 2013, they actually put an Easter egg of one of the monsters. I believe one of the monsters in the mechanized monsters in the game, they actually put an Easter egg in Killzone Shadowfall at the very beginning of it, and it's like on a little virtual pad, hologram, and it's not exactly because they're still working on details, but it pretty much looks the same, and I'm glad they hinted at it, because that was actually pretty cool. And let's talk about some of the gameplay. So let's go back to the maps. The map is actually one of the coolest things actually in the game, because the way they do the map is actually with depth and real environments, instead of like a drawn map or like a sketched out or whatever. A flat map. They actually have a map with depth, and it actually shows you almost exactly what the area, well, probably actually exactly what the area you're going in looks like. So, like, if you see a giant arena, or if you see like a little tree or something, that tree will be there. If you see a river and you want to go next to a river, that river will be there. And how they connect everything is really interesting. And one of my favorite parts in the game is just riding, because you get you also, since the map is humongous, you also get a skill from one of the skill trees that you can whistle, and you can call on a mechanized horse that you can command by yourself, because in the game you get a spear that you get to connect to animals, and those animals can those animals can, you can use those animals and they won't hurt you unless you hurt them back, which is really cool. And you can call, and just riding around the whole area is super neat. And there's also tall necks and collectibles, a whole bunch of collectibles. And tall necks are kind of like towers in Assassin's Creed, where you can look around and you can examine the map, and you clear some of the fog off the map to see objectives and new people. And there's also fast travel points all over the place. Anytime you see a fireplace, there is a fast travel point, which is really good. But you also have fast travels you can use. So you have fast travels you can buy, but the ultimate, and it's super cheap actually, the ultimate fast travel is like this purple, because they do kind of a rarity system where you can get this purple unlimited fast travels, which is super cheap. And I don't know why they would have the two options there, but I would just get the unlimited fast travel one if you love fast traveling. And of course, in such a big game, you need to have some kind of climbing mechanic, and they do. The ledges are painted, so you can, the ledges are like kind of painted, so you can tell where you can climb. They give you some indication that you can climb it. Lots of games do that. Assassin's Creed does it with like a yellow trim mostly. It's mostly in a yellow trim where you can see where to climb, but it's pretty average climbing. It's not much to it. It's just like a made, it's like a, it's a older Assassin's Creed and Uncharted like climbing, and it's fun, but it's just climbing. I mean, we've been climbing games since since forever now, since Assassin's Creed in like 2008, 2009, Jesus. Weapons, you really don't have to choose different ones. When you get the one you want, you can use it for the entire game, but there might be some drawbacks to it. So it might be not as powerful, but most of the guns will work to destroy your enemies, because they have bow and arrows, your average bow and arrows. But they have three different types of bow and arrows, like different elemental bow and arrows, and like shock, snow, and ice, and fire. And they have arrows that can take parts off of enemies, and they have arrows that can go through enemies, and they have arrows that just are just your regular arrows that you can just really draw fast and shoot. Then they have a rope caster, which can help tie down enemies, and they have a sling, which actually shoots bombs, and there's different variations of all these weapons. They also have a forge fire, which is kind of like a gun, and they have variations of all these types of weapons and stuff. And you also put mods on these weapons, and guns you can hit off, and using these types of weapons, you can hit off enemies and use them against, you can hit guns off of enemies and use their own guns against them, but some of them, most of them will be actually better than what you might be using in your bow and arrows and your rope casters and slings. So it's good to actually knock off some of the enemies' weapons that they use at you, especially when you're fighting this giant T-Rex thing called a Thunderjaw. When you knock off its weapon, you can get this giant missile launcher and just grab it and shoot it right back at him, which is awesome. There's also a bunch of trip mines and hunting stuff and smaller stuff to get smaller creatures, and there's also potions you can use and stuff. There's also a skill tree, which is your average RPG skill tree. You level up, you gain 1 point, you do a story mission or a big, big objective, you gain a skill point, and you can fill out the tree that way. And you'll more than likely fill out the entire tree, and there's a lot of neat and great useful things in that skill tree, like calling on, whistling for a horse to come and pick you up. And just the overall exploration in the game is great. But the reason I'm really talking about this is the Frozen Wilds. I just defeated the Frozen Wilds, and if you haven't played the Frozen Wilds, it's much harder than the base game, and so I definitely level up before playing the Frozen Wilds. But the plot revolves around Aloy journeying to the peak of a mysterious mountain. The Frozen Wilds include new machines, quests, weapons, settlements, trophies, abilities, activities, and characters not seen in the base game, and serves as new character in Aloy's adventure. When Aloy first arrives in the Cut, which is the area is called, she learns that these are troubled times for the Banuk in the region, which I talked about before. Many of their most skilled fighters were skilled in a recent failed exploration expedition to the mountain known as Thunder's Drum, and the Werak chieftain plans to rally more hunters for another seemingly doomed attempt. The Werak's spiritual leader, their shaman Aurora, vanished in the wake of their defeat, leaving many feeling abandoned and hopeless. Furthermore, new and exciting dangerous machines have been appearing throughout the Cut in a phenomenon similar to the dramatic scene across the south, which is just really cool. And it was very hard. I don't want to spoil anything about the Frozen Wilds, but if you have played Horizon Zero Dawn and haven't played the Frozen Wilds yet, I'll definitely consider doing that, because it is a fantastic game, and I'll definitely recommend playing it. But I have to end the podcast. I can talk about this game all the time, but we have to go. And remember, just Horizon Zero Dawn is a great game, and I'll definitely recommend playing it 100%. Most of the grades are 9s and 9.3s and 9.5s, and it's just a great game, and I'd really, really recommend playing it. But in case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Laporte, and this is the Thursday Afternoon Games Chat. Each and every week, I come to give you an in-depth talk about the games I play and some history about them. The podcast airs live on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on RadioFreeRadford.com, and then a week later, it's released on YouTube at YouTube.com/Dylan Laporte and other podcasting services like SoundCloud and iTunes as a downloadable MP3. And thank you for tuning in. Bye.
Lead the way. Get your rock off my map.
This is amazing.
Let's do this.